This is an intro. Intro, intro, intro.
Hustle and Float Chart with your boy,
my boy,
Matt Wolf
and Joe Fair.
Hey!
What is up, everybody?
What is up?
Welcome back to the Hustle and Float Chart podcast. I'm your host, Matt Wolf.
Welcome.
With my co-host.
Welcome.
Joe Fair.
Oh, hey. It's me.
And this is actually another duet episode. We don't have a guest today.
No, we don't. But the guests we have are the dogs in the backyard that are hanging out with us.
Yeah. So if you hear a dog slurping up water, that's because my dog is hanging out right behind Joe right now.
No, don't put your dirty nose on the microphone. Jeez. Yeah, we're hanging out in the backyard, just reminiscing about the old days, the good old days, right, Matt?
Yeah. Well, we actually
mostly good.
We actually had somebody say, you know what? I don't think I know your backstory. I don't think I know how, you know, Joe and Matt started working together and how you learned what you learned and how you got into what you're doing. And so we thought, you know, we did do an episode about that with one of our older podcasts, but it's been a long time since we've talked about it. Mm-hmm. And a lot has happened since then. So we thought we'd revisit that and kind of tell the story again as best as we can recollect.
So I guess the point of this podcast, I mean, it's not all about us. That's not the point. So, yeah.
Well, we'll try to pick out lessons along the way.
Well, yeah. Well, that's obviously, I think what the big thing is, and Matt and I were just honestly preparing ourselves for this episode because, like, we even forgot most of the stuff we've done in the past. I mean, well, I think it's been like 8 years.
Combined, we were struggling to actually figure out how many businesses we've been involved in because it's been a lot.
Yeah, well, and I guess the moral of the story here is, like, if you get one takeaway, and obviously I hope you get a lot, but the big thing is that the journey is not a straight line. I know you've seen, like, this, I think there's, like, an emoji out there, or not emoji, but, like, a meme.
Infographic?
Yeah, where it's, like, what everyone thinks that business is going to be like, and it's going to be, like, straight line trajectory up, like a good stock graph. But it's, like, in all reality, it's this crazy zigzag thing that goes up, down, and then, you know, trajectory slightly goes up. And
that's actually the way you want it, because those zigzags, those getting off course, those other little side projects that seem to happen, those are where all the lessons are learned that are going to eventually lead you to, you know, the thing that is the most successful for you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, every single little sidetrack, every single little business that we've had along the way, all of those experiences, all of those people we've met along the way, all of those business models, what's failed, what's worked, all of that, we've learned something from that is now a factor in our current business. We've learned something that we've been able to apply to what we do now.
Yeah. So I guess that's what you should take from this, you know, and, or at least that's my takeaway, even just planning for this episode is wow, there's a lot of stuff we've done and it all adds up together, even though if we're not consciously thinking about what we've failed or did well in the past, it's still amounting to where we're at now.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, hopefully you can take something from this whole journey. But yeah, Matt, I mean, so what was the year that we actually started together?
You know, I'm not
like officially opening a blog up on.
Okay, so even stepping a little bit behind that, you and I, we had a mutual friend. We had an acquaintance, a mutual friend, Cameron.
Yeah.
Still a mutual friend to this day. So we have a mutual friend named Cameron. We sort of met through him. I played in bands with Cameron. You played in bands with Cameron.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we got to know each other.
And then
rocking the guitar. I had my family business. We had a shutter company, and I was, you know, helping run the shutter company. And at some point, my mom walked into Famous Footwear, where you were working at the time.
Yeah.
And she thought that you were just like a very friendly person and was great at customer support. Oh. And she went, I need to have Joe at Artisan at the shutter company.
I was like, I'm expensive. No, I didn't say that. I was like, yeah, get me out of here.
Yeah. So my mom recruited Joe over to the shutter company. And I think it was kind of coincidence. I don't even know if my mom realized that you and I like sort of knew each other through an acquaintance.
No, she did, but I mentioned it. And somehow I recognized her. There was some exchange there where she knew that we were connected, but we weren't like really buddies.
Now, do you remember what year you started working at Artisan?
Because
I have no clue.
I don't, honestly. I mean, if it's... Hold on. So I graduated... Okay, I'm just going to do some math here. Let's see. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I would say I started there around like 2008 or 9-ish.
That is incorrect.
Is it earlier?
Because we started our first blog in 2007.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Because I'm thinking of the year I graduated, but we're already working together for, I guess, 3 years. Yeah, okay. So yeah, that would make sense. We started the blog probably a year after I started.
So we had a blog. We started a blog called How I Will Be Rich. Joe and I, we actually got really into like personal finance and investing. Mm-hmm. And I think we just read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then we read The 4-Hour Work Week. And that led us on this like path of like learning about entrepreneurship, learning about wealth accumulation, learning about investing.
Yeah.
And we went, okay, what better way to truly learn this stuff and to truly lock this stuff in than to create a blog around it, and as we learn stuff, go and blog about what we just learned.
Yeah, right? Essentially, so, we would like summarize what we learned.
Yeah, the blog started as essentially a tool for us to like teach what we were learning, not because we thought a ton of people would be reading the blog, but because that helped us lock in the knowledge, and you know, you learn the best by teaching, right? Mm-hmm. So we started that blog as a way to teach and to sort of better educate ourselves on those topics. We knew we wanted to be consistent with the blog like once a week or whatever. So we were constantly learning new stuff. So we constantly had stuff to teach on the blog.
Yeah.
And that blog was called How I Will Be Rich.
Yep.
And it doesn't exist anymore. That name was very influenced by Ramit Sethi's I Will Teach You to Be Rich.
That's right. I forgot about that. That's a good book.
So, you know, we named our blog that, and we blogged on that for a little while, and it sort of grew, and we had Google ads on that blog, and we started seeing our first trickles of money from Google ads.
That was our first dollar made online.
Yeah. Our first dollar made online. Well, that was probably from that style of business. From I had done some service stuff in the past, building websites for people and stuff, but that was, you know, prior to us meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we started making money off the ads, and then we learned about selling actual like link ads on your site. And we actually made way more money doing that than from Google by selling text link ads on our website.
You know, I actually made my first dollar online. I reminded myself. Remember those like Netfire day, or what was that service where it was like free internet they gave you?
Oh, Net Zero.
Net Zero, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember having Net Zero, even though like my parents had internet. For some reason, I chose to use I don't know. It was like experimenting with things, but I think I figured out like the value of like advertising online back then. But I remember getting like, remember like when you can get people to click, and this is totally black hat, but I mean, I don't think it works anymore, but it was like a clicker, basically software. Yeah. And I was getting the thing to click on this banner throughout the night.
Yeah. I remember those. Yeah. You set up like a little script that would like click on the link for you like constantly.
And I remember, and it totally like hacked, and I think the most ever made literally was like $25, and I was like, woohoo.
Yeah.
I got one check and then it like stopped working. I'm like, no. But it was this was like way before we ever met. But I didn't really do it.
I used to experiment with stuff like that, but it was always just like pennies, you know?
Yeah.
Like you'd get a check in the mail and it'd be like $7 and you're like, woo, that's awesome. That tool cost me $10.
Right.
No, but you know, we started selling the text link ads on our site, and turns out later on we found out that Google frowns upon that and will sort of delist you if you do that. But that's a whole
thing.
And this was before that was an issue. And then we went, cool, we can make money with this. I think we were making like, what, $50 a month off that blog with the ads and stuff.
Yeah, it was cool. It was like beer money.
We're like, let's clone this.
Right.
Right? And let's make another blog. And on this blog, we'll talk about a different topic, but we'll put the same kind of ads on it. And we made Be Healthy and Relax, which actually still exists to this day. That site's still live.
That's true. Yeah. And that was kind of more of my baby. Because we kind of like decided, okay, Matt was like, he has the financial background. He was going to school for finance majors. So I was like, okay, well, it'd make a lot more sense if you just ran that blog and I ran this other one. Mm-hmm. And we kept a consistent blogging schedule.
Yeah.
My wife works and still has a company in the health food space. Mm-hmm. So like there was just loads of information I was coming in from all the products and manufacturers she worked with. So I just pretty much learned a lot from, because that was a side gig I was doing. I was actually demonstrating this stuff in Whole Foods, like sampling out products. I was like a little sample boy. It's usually grandma's doing it. But it was cool. I met a lot of good people, and it was like a good learning lesson for me to sell, but I transposed a lot of that content I was doing there, making money there, to put it on the blog. That's how we got our content originally.
And that one, I think, actually did better than How I Will Be Rich. I think we actually got that one to do more sales and more traffic than the first one.
Well, the thing that actually brought the most amount of traffic, and it still might to this day, was a thing called the Kaiser diet.
Yeah.
Remember that? And so basically, the Kaiser is it's like a hospital chain out here in San Diego or West Coast or whatever.
Yeah. No, it's all over, but
I think it's the same. I'm pretty sure that's where the diet came from, but I was literally like looking for coffee or tea in Heather's parents' cupboard like late one night, and I pulled out this like piece of paper. I don't know why I even pulled it out, but it was all tattered and stuff, and it said the Kaiser diet on top.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the heck is this thing? And it looked crazy. It was like, eat one hot dog, one egg, hard boiled. But like, it was like very specific but weird things. And I was like, and supposedly it was going to make you lose weight and like, you know, like be in this ketosis thing or whatever. And I was like, that's interesting. So I Googled it and I was like, it looks popular, but I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to write about it.
Yeah.
So I think I posted the diet and I put my thoughts behind it. I'm like, I'm not sure if this thing works. Does this work for you guys? And it like caught steam in Google.
Yeah.
And people started legitimately commenting. I think we had like hundreds of comments on that thing. And people were like, oh, it actually does work for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like this. I'm like, what?
The same thing. We had the Google ads and we had the text link ads. And that one is when we started to actually make like good AdSense money. And by good AdSense money, like $200 a month.
Well, it's paying for our car payments then.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're like, sweet. Better from beer money to car payments now.
So we had, we had How to Be Rich, and then we had Be Healthy and Relax, and we're like, and I don't even know if you remember this one, and then we're like, let's duplicate it again. Let's make a website about lawn care.
I know, Healthy Lawn Guy. Or
OrganicLawnGuys.com.
I do. It looks so horrible.
It doesn't exist anymore, so don't even bother going, but we created another third blog called Organic Lawn Guys. We're like, cool, we made a blog in finance. We made a blog in fitness. Let's make a blog in like the...
In something, in a niche that we know nothing about.
In a niche that we knew nothing about.
Brilliant idea.
I think we did that. I bought my first house in 2008, and my lawn looked like shit to the day I sold that house.
It was really hot, and San Diego really doesn't have any water.
And so we didn't have a sprinkler system. I had to go out and like hose down my lawn every day. But I bought a book on how to get a greener lawn, and because I bought that book, I thought that was a good enough reason to start a blog on it. And we started that one, and I don't think that one ever made like a penny.
Well, I think we gave up on it after like three blog posts, and like we spent 4 hours per blog post. We're like, wow, yeah, we really don't know what we're doing here.
Yeah. Like, and so that one just failed. But the I Will Teach or How I Will Be Rich and Be Healthy and Relax were sort of our first sort of like income generators. And then I think after that, we sort of split. You went to go work for the construction company. I stayed at the shutter company, but the shutter company ended up going under.
Well, yeah. I mean, we split, but at the same time, I think the sites were kind of going.
But they were still going. We didn't shut them down, but the sites were still going.
But they just weren't really. I think that's when TextLink ads kind of fell off.
Yeah. I mean, I think we may have been making anywhere from $100 to $200 a month off of them. Maybe.
Yeah.
But we kind of split off. You went to work at a different job.
Right.
I stayed at the shutter company, but the shutter company ended up going under.
Well, I was still in college. Mm-hmm. So I was like finishing out college. I was working the construction job. I was trying to do stuff online. So yeah. I was just learning more or less.
Like
I
think we were still... In the evenings phase. And afternoons and stuff, we were still kind of getting together and throwing ideas around and testing stuff because those sites were still running.
Well, we actually started off. It was, is this when Alex came in the picture?
Alex.
Jeffries?
Oh, it might have been.
I think it was right then. So he's a buddy of ours now, Alex Jeffries, but he's a coach to, I mean, he's probably thousands of people at this point. But we're in his second annual course or whatever it was. I think you ran it. But it was all about basically making your first dollar, you know, growing an online business. And, you know, up until this point, we were kind of just experimenting and learning how just different tactics. We didn't really know strategies more or less. Yeah, it was scary because I don't know how much the course was, like $1,000 or something.
I think it was $1,000.
So I did not have that kind of money in my account back then.
I used a credit card to buy it.
Oh, I definitely did too. And I had I remember a long conversation with my wife because just debt is not a cool thing in her brain, you know, she's kind of taught that. So
we did have a website about personal finance.
Yeah. So it was like, crap, do we actually fund this with like not our own money?
Yeah.
But we did. And we talked the wives into it. And like I know during that phase specifically, because I think at that point we started kind of doing our own things like personal branding. I know that's when I bought joefear.com,
which
I still to this day don't even maintain really, but whatever. You got mattwolf.net, I think. But that was like our starting point of branding ourselves as brands.
Yeah.
As teachers.
For me, that all happened. We still we had our blogs going. The shutter company was about to go under. I quit actually before the Shutter Company went under. I actually left my job. I wrote my boss like a big letter, and it was basically a big FU letter.
That's a whole nother story.
That's a whole other story. But I quit my job the day before I got married. I was getting married on Saturday. My last day at the job was that Friday before. And that Saturday when I got married, we left to go straight on my honeymoon from that, you know, from our wedding. Like that, I think we got back to our hotel room in San Diego at like 11:30 p.m. And we had to be at the airport at like 4 a.m. the next morning to catch our flight to go down to Cozumel for
that must have been scary. I mean, I was his best man at the wedding. Yeah. So it was pretty cool. I mean, just to be like your best man. We got tight quick because I think we just clicked.
Yeah.
For some reason, it wasn't like this is like Matt and I don't feel like we're like normal business partners per se. It's more like brothers that
we definitely act more like brothers
that we
partners,
haven't but... ever had. Like we neither of us have brothers biologically. So we're like, cool. So we kind of, something clicked and I do remember that though, like you guys leaving. I'm like, but the damn, reason I'm, what's he gonna do?
I know. I really went on this vacation thinking to myself, I have no clue what I'm gonna do when I get back. But for the next week, I'm not even gonna think about it. I don't have a job right now. I've got, you know, we had all this money from the wedding. You know, people give you cash and stuff. So I had, you know, we left down to Cozumel with like $2,000 in cash, like in our freaking thing,
bags.
Just from like a wedding money. Yeah, all in ones in duffel bags.
There you go.
But right before I left, I bought a book, and it was just a random book. I don't even remember who recommended it or who I heard from, but it was called How I Made My First Million on the Internet, and it was by Ewan Chia. And that was the first book I ever read that was specifically focused on internet marketing, becoming a marketer on the internet. And it was like very, very focused on list building, growing your email list and having that asset to market to people. And this was in 2009. Growing that email list to market to people. And so I read that book on the plane flying to Cozumel, and that got my wheels spinning. Cause I had like, we've had these blogs by this point for 2 years, right? And we weren't building any sort of email list. We just had Google ads. That was it. That was the sole monetization. And I came back Facebook. And I went, we're doing this wrong. We need to start building mailing lists off this shit. We're having this traffic and we're only getting them once. We're not able to bring them back. We need to build a mailing list. And so that was sort of my first entry into like, we need to focus on email marketing. That's where it's at. Right. So I think we went and got like I think we used GetResponse at the beginning. We went and got a GetResponse account and we put GetResponse on Be Healthy and Relax and I Will Teach You to or How I Will Be Rich. I keep on saying I will teach you to be rich because
we kind of ripped off the name.
Yeah, we did. But that site doesn't exist anymore. So, you know, Remy. Yeah, so I bought that book and then we came back and just by like happenstance, I was on like Twitter or something and Justin Brooke, who's actually now a friend of ours as well, Justin Brooke actually, I saw a tweet from him on Twitter that said, if you're thinking about list building, this is the guy to check out. And he linked to Alex Jeffrey's webpage. And this was before I even knew what like affiliate marketing was.
Yeah.
Obviously at the time, Justin Brooke was an affiliate of Alex Jeffrey's course. Yeah. And he was promoting Alex Jeffrey's course. I didn't realize that. I just thought Justin was recommending, like, this is the guy to talk to for list building.
Got it.
And so I went, I clicked on his site, and I watched his sales video, and I went, this guy's going to teach me how to build a list. And I went to Joe, and I said, Joe, check this out. Let's both buy this course. Let's go through it together. Let's learn how to freaking grow some mailing lists.
Yeah, and we did. And I mean, in that course, not only did we learn all that stuff, we met some connections that we still have to this day, one being Josh Bartlett.
Yeah.
Who's,
and Josh Bartlett's a big part of this story that we'll get into, too.
Yeah, Thrivecart, Easy Video Player, sweet. So, yeah, and he's still really good buddies. It's like, I wished him happy birthday yesterday and text, and we've been texting ever since, like yesterday. So, but yeah, it's... That was scary as hell, man, because that was us putting our ass on the line financially for the very first time.
We both quit our jobs.
Well, yeah, I guess so you said you quit in May, I think
May
it was.
May of 2009, yeah.
Yeah, because you got married in May. So I got married in November, which I graduated college that same year. So whatever that was. Actually, I graduated early. So it was right before you got married was when I graduated. But no, sorry, totally take that back. It was a weird time of the year. It was right before I got married. It was like September. And I remember right before my wedding, I quit college and I quit my job, my corporate job, which was at this construction company doing marketing. It was kind of a different style of marketing, not this stuff. It was like boring proposals. But I just like looked, I remember looking around at the job. It was a cushy job and stuff. Had it in my own office. But everyone looked like zombies. Everyone just looked like they hated their life there. Like the guys that were like 50 plus.
Yeah.
I'm like, do I want to be that guy? Not really. So I was I got everything done quickly.
Funny story. That business actually went out of business eventually too.
I was going to say that. Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. So Matt alluded to it. But the company went under, at least the San Diego branch I was at, like 2 months after I quit.
So what you're saying is when Joe and Matt aren't involved in a company, they go under.
They go down. No, but what I was doing is leveraging that time. So I got all my shit done really quickly for that position, my marketing position. But all the other time, I was pretty much on the clock learning. Like I was going through Alex Jeffries' course. I was reading stuff from Jason Moffitt. I remember that very clearly. It was, I think it was the Profit Manifesto or whatever the hell he called it. Some newsletter thing he had. And I remember like, I was like, man, this guy Moffitt's got it figured out. And he's another buddy of ours now, too. Yeah. It's like it's cool to see like Frank Kern. We study a lot of his stuff. We've hung out with him multiple times. We've got a lot of connections through him. So
name dropper.
I know, but that's kind of it goes in the story. That's
I know. It is very relevant to where we're gonna get to.
It's very interesting that this growth is a weird path. But
so
we quit and then we basically so my mom was freaking out because she's not an entrepreneurial type. My dad isn't either, but so my mom was always like, okay, Heather, my wife, how long are you going to let him do this? And because I wasn't making money for like, I don't know, 6 months or something. Yeah. And just living off of what my wife was getting paid, which wasn't really a lot at the time. So it's like, okay.
No, I was saying, I mean, our stories along this area are both like very similar. I had some savings built up and Alana worked at State Farm. So, you know, we were living off her income for a little bit.
But I didn't have more than like $2,000 in the bank. It was so stupid when I quit. Yeah. I didn't have really any much money at all.
Yeah. But so, so we went through Alex Jeffries' course and you mentioned Josh Bartlett, which I do think is, you know, a big piece of our story. But I think the next phase started by being in that group. They had like a forum, they had a community in that group of all the other students in the group. And we got to know all the other students in this Alex Jeffries group, Josh Bartlett being one of them. At this point, once we learned the stuff from Alex Jeffries, I think our paths sort of split for a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Right? So, like, this, the story of Joe and I working together, we started out working together, we split off for a little bit, we came back together, worked together for a little bit, split off for a bit, and then ultimately have been back together again for almost, like, 2 years now. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of where it split off the first time, was I was building WordPress blogs for other people. I mentioned earlier I was doing some sort of like freelance web development stuff for people, and I'd built some WordPress sites for other people. And we got into Alex Jeffries' group, and Alex was recommending everybody set up a blog, get a blog, use WordPress, get it dialed in. So I started going into the forum going, all right, guys, I got this. I know how to build blogs. I know how to set up WordPress, get your hosting, do all that, get it all dialed in. I've done it over and over and over again for clients in the past. I'll do it for $50 a head. Right. Like, obviously way undervaluing myself at the time. But I went into this group and people were, you know, PayPaling me $50. I would go and install WordPress on their site and install a theme and then pass it along. And so I started doing that. And the next thing I knew, like, people were asking me questions about WordPress and like, hey, how do I get this plugin installed? How do I stop spam complaints? How do I build my list with WordPress? Blah, blah, blah. And that's how the WordPress Classroom was born, which was my first info product that I tried to sell myself. Was, you know, I just started recording my screen. I think I used Camtasia at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just started recording my screen, showing people how to do stuff in WordPress. And what I did was I started building a list. I gave away like 10 of those videos for free just for opting into my list. And then as soon as you opted in for my list, there was an upsell that for $10, you could get my entire WordPress training program.
Man.
Right?
Hot deal.
So I started telling people in the group, look, here's some free tutorials that'll get you going. If you want to go to the next level, it's, you know, $10 to get the full course. And I'm going to keep adding to that course.
So it wasn't even $10 a month. It was just $10.
I think when I first opened it, it was $10 flat.
That's crazy.
And then I think...
not even 17 or 9 or 7?
No. And literally, I didn't even use WordPress to build the site. I actually had just like an HTML page with a white background and like a cartoon dude. And I wrote the WordPress Classroom like on a fake chalkboard clip art. And then there was just a list of videos. If you clicked on the video, it like linked you to the like raw video link.
We got
to
archive the video. We got to archive.
I think I screenshotted it from archive.org.
Our org, yeah.
And that's where Josh Bartlett kind of stepped in. He reached out to me on Skype and said, dude, I don't know if he said these words exactly, but he's like, dude, your site's shit. Let's rebuild it. Right. And he had designers at the time. He was working on his Easy Video Player. He had a thing called Twitter Fuel at the time. And his designs were actually pretty good and really up to date for the times. And he's like, dude, my graphic designer will do that for you in like 15 minutes. Let that guy do it for you. So he redesigned the WordPress classroom site into something a little more decent. And then he was also the one who said, don't charge $10. If you're going to keep adding videos, charge a monthly fee for this thing.
Yeah.
So that's when I think I changed it from $10 flat to $10 a month to be a member. And that's how the WordPress classroom was born. And then sort of fast forwarding a little bit, I ran that from 2009 to 2013. And then in 2013, Bradley Will, who ran a site called Free Blog Factory, came to me and he said, look, I've got this site called Free Blog Factory. I install blogs for people. You've got training. Mm-hmm. I really want to do training. Like, I want training for people who come in through my system. Is there some way we can like figure out how to combine these business models?
Yeah.
And so that was how Learn to Blog was born. I phased out WordPress Classroom. Bradley and I partnered. We created Learn to Blog. So if you bought through us, you got a free blog setup plus all this educational content. We hired our first Facebook ads guy at that time. And our Facebook ads guy ramped up our Facebook ads to $30,000 a month in ad spend. Learn to Blog grew to $60,000, $70,000 a month in sales revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. That was kind of the initial path, and then.
Well, that was home. So let me tell my arc.
Yeah, go ahead and tell your arc, because then we eventually.
That just covered like a bunch of years, actually.
Yeah.
But it was good because, So Matt was growing that way. So he did. It kind of still stems to today's our roles. It's interesting, but our roles were pretty defined back then. Sorry, his dog's like choking behind. Yeah. But like it's cool because I took a totally different path. Mm-hmm. I didn't go this info route, and honestly, stupidly, I didn't really go the list building route either. I did build a list, but it wasn't nearly as aggressive as Matt. Matt's always been the one to really focus on, and I am now finally like I paid the price for many years, but I was always focused on working with people, like, and I know a list of people, but I was always working much more personal with people, so taking on clients and all that stuff. And so I always had a decent skill set in graphic design, slideshow design, so actually creating videos out of slides. Kind of perfected that at a very early age in my business career. It was around the same time like Video Boss was coming out from Andy Jenkins and all these big launches. But I kind of was doing that prior to that, where essentially VSLs and, you know, video sales letters, pre-webinars, when people would create a video, I was there creating the slides and helping people make it look cool online. Mm-hmm. And again, Josh Bartlett from Alex Jeffries Group, he was the one that allowed me to essentially create his sales video for Easy Video Player. Mm-hmm. So that was my first time actually doing this process and doing it in a way where, like, I mean, tens of thousands of people were going to see this video and purchase. And I believe it was that first launch. It took a span of a few months, I believe, but it generated over $1 million in sales, I do believe.
I'm not sure.
Maybe over the span of that product it took.
I know Easy Video Suite definitely did millions, but I don't know if Easy Video Player initially did millions.
Maybe it wasn't the player, but I know that over whatever period of time, it generated a substantial amount because we did do sales videos for all those, you know, the suite as well. But it really taught me a lot of lessons on how to work with clients, what the clients want, how to create a system with all this stuff. So the process of developing these assets, because there's a million steps. I kind of created this agency, this video animation agency, this agency that worked with clients, helping with copywriting and graphic design, all that kind of conversion stuff. But that's where I did that, and it was Video Sales Lab was the name of my company doing that. And in doing that, I met a lot of guys as well, you know, and got introduced to various folks who... So I kind of took clients and almost went further and created deeper partnerships. So it was almost like a partner with a lot of my clients. And it opened up a lot of new connections. Around the time you were working with Bradley, I was introduced to a guy named Amish Shah, who we had on the podcast before. Mm-hmm. And he's responsible for doing, I think it's about $8 million when launching his Magic Bullet system, which was a software product way before I ever knew him. And I remember seeing it launching back in the day. These are the days of like the big launch of the Frank Kern and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching and hearing about these numbers. I'm like, how the hell is that even possible? I can't even fathom that number. And he did a lot of that, the bulk of that number in about 15 minutes, which is like, dear yeah. God. So I got the opportunity to actually work with him on a lot of his projects, and it developed into a partnership. And that was when I kind of started leveraging my time, I think, better, not working just partner to part or client to client, but actually like working in a bigger way as leverageable partners. So I have this skill set, you have this skill set, mm-hmm. and kind of developing something cool out of that. So we actually created a piece of training around the digital publishing industry. So Apple Books, Kindle Books, and all that stuff, and sold 10 to 20,000 packages to clients, partnering up with them, but also teaching them how to do the same thing. So mm-hmm. like we were closing massive deals with a phone team, webinars, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy. It morphed over the years, connections that way. And you were doing this thing on the side with Bradley, and
yeah,
you sold that business.
Yeah. So
I guess around that time is when we came back together.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was around that time. I mean, the timeline of this all is sort of fuzzy. I'm sure we could have like.
Well, that was the EGP. So we opened Evergreen Profits originally in
2013,
and that was around this time.
Yeah,
we came back together because I wanted to honestly make more money, but do my own thing as well. And I was still working with Amish. I was taking on my own personal clients. You still had the business with Bradley, mm-hmm. the Learn to Blog. You probably had some side clients too. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely I was like, okay, I'm at a point where I want my own thing. And I think you wanted to, I think we both were just like, want to make more cash, want to take more control. Let's do yeah. this thing. And we saw opportunities.
Yeah.
So we opened up Evergreen Profits for the first time.
Yep.
In 2013, and it opened as an agency, but we had this whole like vision of not only just working with clients, but partnering with them. So like yeah. doing like an upfront fee plus a percentage of their company.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Evergreen Profits from day one back in 2013, we had this sort of vision of, yes, there's an agency element to it, and we're going to make a lot of money as an agency, but it was always a thing that we built to collect assets.
Mm-hmm.
And even back then, because remember back in 2013 when we first started it, we were like, let's look into this Bitcoin thing. And
yeah,
we were looking at Bitcoin back when it was $200 a coin, going, should we buy it? I don't know. Kind of kicking ourselves on that one now. But
a little bit.
you know, we were looking at investing in Bitcoin. We were talking about the real estate stuff back then. We were talking about owning the San Diego Chargers as one of our assets.
Boo, Chargers.
Screw
boo.
The Chargers now. But you know, we built it with this mindset of Evergreen Profits is going to be our company that we collect assets with. And we still have that mindset to this day. But we started that as an agency, and our very first client that we ever landed as Evergreen Profits, we went in and we pitched them at $10,000 plus, what, 20% equity?
20 or 30, somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere between 20 yeah. or 30% equity. So it was $10,000 upfront to basically build out their website and their funnels and all their systems and everything.
I remember being scared shitless to pitch that.
Yeah. And we pitched it in person at a coffee shop.
Yeah. I mean, it was the first time I pitched something that large in person.
Yeah.
Usually it's been on the phone or with a sales team doing it for me.
And it was the easiest freaking thing in the world.
It was like he agreed to it in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we knew what this guy's needs were. We knew he had the money. And it was a sweet deal, honestly. He got, and he made his investment back in
over
way
time,
more.
He made, yeah. you know, 5x what he paid us.
Yeah, but it was like, I remember walking away. I think it was in La Jolla in San Diego here.
Yeah.
And we were at a Starbucks. I think we were just pitched him. We were just sitting outside on a little patio set like we are now. And it was like the coolest thing. I remember walking away and like on cloud nine. We're like, damn.
Yeah.
This is sweet. We just became, we just made a decent amount of cash. So that just like funds us for like a month or two.
Yeah.
Because like, hey, that's what you got. That's what yeah. you need. I know we could build a lot of this stuff with our own assets. So there wasn't really a lot of hard costs, and now we have an ownership in this company. Like,
yeah.
that's so cool. This is cash flow. I mean, if you're thinking assets and really, you judge an asset by the cash flow that you can make of it, you mm-hmm. know? And so this was one asset that we're going to build up.
And we got cash up front and cash flow for, you know.
No, right, on the back end.
An indefinite future.
Yeah, and we did for probably a handful of years.
Yeah, the product eventually became outdated. It was an info product, and the information eventually became outdated, so we had to sort of phase it out. But, yeah, I mean, it was $10,000 up front with an equity, and I remember we were like sweating and we were nervous and like mm-hmm. we were, I think we sort of danced around the price a little bit when we were talking to him, and then when we finally said the price, he's like, "Wow, that's a little bit pricier than I thought, but
yeah.
cool, let's do it." And it was literally like that was it.
And well, and the way that we even got that meeting was through something I posted on Facebook.
Yeah,
I don't know what we were talking about. I think it was something Matt and I were doing. We were experimenting, like when we first started EGP. Evergreen Profits for the first time. I think we threw a case study out there or something.
Yeah.
I think it was about growing. We did something on a what's that website? Udemy. I think we were growing a list or doing something like that with coupons. And this
Yeah, we actually have our whole website flipping course that we sold on Udemy.
We're not going to even go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. I mean, if we went into like every product we've ever put out into the marketplace,
yeah.
this will be like a 5-hour podcast.
But the whole point is I said something to the respect of like, oh my God, we just grew a list of like 1,000 people for this Udemy course
yeah.
by using coupons. Like, this is craziness. Like, I can't wait to, you know, see where this goes. And then yeah. I remember I got a few messages from that, personal messages, and one was him.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, holy crap. And then, I mean, we've tested this now multiple times. I've done it with clients, posting your results, creating case studies, testimony, whatever it might be. That's like the best way to land clients on if they're watching yeah. you, and usually they can turn into really high paying people if you yeah. have that audience.
You create value for the world, show proof of that value created, and more people are going to want you to create value for them.
So a lot of our connections from that business, so we're talking about EGP version 1 days yeah. in 2013.
EGP 1.0.
I would say it lasted, what, 2013 to 2014, 15?
Yeah, I would say it lasted...
Probably
yeah, 14. Probably a year to a year and a half.
Yeah.
We actually had a little office space up in Marietta that we rented out
just
for, what, $400 a month.
Yeah, it was cool, though. It was our little
It's actually a legit, like, good-sized office space, too.
It was. But so we were a total agency. I think that was the only percentage deal we actually land. Maybe we had one more. Well, we had multiple smaller deals.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, like, the... I don't think we recreated that deal for until like
no, because most years. Of what we did after that was people coming to us saying, "Can you just install WordPress for me?" or "Can you, you know, design this new page?" And
right,
it
right.
was stuff that didn't lend itself to any sort of recurring. It was just like it was. To be honest, it was like grunt work. I mean, it was like
I think the thing was is that it became not leverageable.
Well, and we got to a point where we just didn't turn down gigs. If somebody said, "I'll give you money to build a website," we went okay, and we took it.
Yeah,
right, and. That was sort of the beginning of the end of that the Evergreen Profits 1.0 was we were more concerned about how much money, like we just wanted to get as many gigs as we could and just collect like, the money on the
like
gigs.
Now. Yeah.
Like, let's just, okay, they want, they said they'll give me $800 to build this website. Let's take it.
Yeah.
Oh, this person said they'd give me $2,000 to build this website. Let's take it. Mm. And we just kind of took anything that came to us.
Mm.
And I think... That was sort of the downfall is that we didn't really set standards for like the type of client we would accept, the type of work we would do for the client. You know, we actually had one gig and from my recollection, this was probably the last gig we did for EGP 1.0 was we had a gig where somebody came to us and said, "I want you to build me this custom survey funnel where they, you know, it asks them a series of questions back to back to back to back." And this was long before that book Ask ever came out from Ryan Levesque.
Yeah,
this was like years before that book. And somebody came to us and said, "I want to create a survey." They answer all these survey questions. And when the survey finishes, it puts them on my sales page, but it also embeds like their score on the sales page from the quiz. And then I also want an email to go out with the score. And it was this very complex custom sort of funnel at the time. Yeah. Nobody was doing quiz funnels. Nobody was taking the results of the quiz funnels and embedding them on a sales page and also embedding them into the email follow-ups that were going out. You know, there was a couple people that were doing it, but not many. And so we actually brought on board a custom, you know, PHP JavaScript developer to build this system for this client. And it cost us a lot of money. There was a lot of back and forth with the client.
Well, yeah, we learned a lot of lessons with just dealing with people. Like
I think we ended up losing money all said and done because we undervalued, underbid ourselves.
Yep.
There was some differences of opinions at the end of the day, and we
Well, speaking about that though, I think that was my biggest takeaway. Mm-hmm. And obviously the money is huge. That can kill a business, but the big takeaway I had from that whole thing is that we didn't properly communicate everything on our end. Because it was a very complex system. I mean, nowadays you can just get one piece of software and pretty much do this. Yeah.
Well, at the time, we totally blamed the client. We were sitting here going, man, this client is a pain in the ass. This sucks. I hate doing this stuff. In retrospect, looking back at it, it was 100% our fault.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we look back at it and we didn't set clear expectations. We didn't have proper, like, written agreements in place. We definitely didn't charge enough for that gig. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of things that we did wrong that led to that deal going awry.
So, So I guess the lesson here, if you're ever working with clients, you got to A, value yourself and know your value and stick to your value unless you somehow change your terms, but make sure you're getting what you need out of that project. And that's not just to like make a lot of profit. That's just to be surviving. Mm-hmm. Like even if you are just, I mean, you don't want to just break even, make a little bit, but it's like a progression. Like I worked with clients for a lot of years now at this point, and I've progressed with my prices have just risen way higher than most people would ever charge. But it's a confidence thing, but that comes from understanding your value.
And here's another asset that at the same time we were adding to our portfolio. We wanted a startup in our portfolio at this time.
Oh yeah.
And so we teamed up with actually the person who was our last guest on last week's podcast, John Margalit.
Yeah.
We partnered with him to create a business called Toggly, which was very startup-y, mm-hmm. right? Like it had a bunch of different investors in it. John was out there actually trying to raise funding.
There were about like 10 investors.
From angel investors and things like that. We had a bunch of angel investors on board, and it was this this photography website. It was kind of the same idea as like an Odesk Upwork, whatever it's called these days.
Well, it's like a marketplace, basically.
Yeah, it was a marketplace for photographers, basically.
Mm-hmm. In your local area.
Yeah, it geo-targeted in your local area. I don't even think the site's live anymore. We tried to look it up earlier and it wasn't even loading. But we built this with John and a team of other people. And because we wanted this startup, we wanted another sort of asset that would pay us dividends and that sort of thing in the business. And we worked with these guys to build this thing. And eventually we sold our shares to the rest of the guys in the company. They basically bought it back from us.
They were super cool. Luckily, like it wasn't like a whole breakup thing where we all hated each other, which a lot of startups will go that route.
Yeah.
But we basically, I think maybe we were in there for like 6 or 8 months. Like we kind of were there for a while, all the way to the launch or maybe right before the launch. And luckily they were super cool because we just said like, hey, this is where we're at. This isn't really what we want to do. We're honestly dreading this whole startup culture now that we've been in it. Because like from the outside, it kind of looks sexy with like, oh, you can hang out with people. And it wasn't like we're in Silicon Valley with pool tables everywhere. Yeah. We're like still in our house working. But there were, I think for us, it was just like so many meetings, so many people that we had to go through to make a decision where we're like, we can't do this, man.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the biggest problem with that business was that there was just too many cooks in the kitchen, right? Yeah. There was, we had an idea, and if we wanted to implement it, we had to kind of pass it by other people before we can implement it. And, you know, half the people might like the idea, half the people might not like the idea. And it felt very difficult to push forward quickly because there was so much decision by committee. Mm. And that's just kind of how the startup world works. It's nothing against anybody we worked with. We still love all those guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the way we've always worked with our internet businesses, it was always just go, go, go. When we wanted to build something, we just built it. When we wanted to test something, we test it. When we wanted to drive ads to something, we paid the money and drove the ads. We didn't, there was no sort of decision process. We just went for it.
Yeah.
And with this, there were so many decisions, so many people that had opinions, so many different ideas, conflicting ideas, conflicting marketing strategies. And it became tough for us. And so during this sort of EGP 1.0 investing in Toggly, we it just became too difficult for us, and it wasn't the way we enjoyed working. So we basically went to them and said, hey, would you guys mind buying out our stake in this company?
Yeah, because we put some money in as well as being sweat equity.
Yeah.
But so luckily they were able to, I think it was like, I don't know, just in like a handful of $1,000 or whatever. But at the time, like Matt and I were like, shit, that really helps.
Yeah.
Like anything that we can get out of it was great, because like for us, we're just like, man, we can give value, but our hearts aren't in it. So it's not the best approach. So that was, I think that was actually the end of, it was around the time, yeah, that's when EGP.
Those were kind of our last two projects, yeah, at EGP, right there.
EGP 1.0 was the like
Survey Funnel and Toggly.
No more after that, huh?
I think those two projects kind of simultaneously happening
fizzled,
and not, yeah, sort of ending the way we wanted them to end,
yeah,
was kind of like, okay, we're done with this client work thing. We're done with the agency thing.
Well, see, and that's around the time I think I started working with Amish again.
Mm-hmm.
And that this time it was more of a, is more of a role as a project manager slash really coordinator for the whole business, like of his business. So it was this, it was teaching a lot of meditation topics. It was info product based, but that was my point where, and I think, I don't know if this was me not working directly with Matt and me like, hey brother, I'm not going to learn this list building shit. Like for some reason I had a hard time like really understanding list building in my brain. I was more of the hustle, and that's a whole hustle and flow chart. Like, this is where the name kind of stems from, too, a little, yeah, bit. Is I always like, I'm like, no, I could figure out how to get more clients. I can make enough money doing that. It's very lifestyle-based-esque, but definitely not systemized. It wasn't until I really started working with Amish that we were dealing with, like, four different online properties that I had to manage, that I had to systemize with things like Asana, things with, like, he was on, I don't know, some CRM. It was like Infusionsoft or Entreport.
Yeah.
But either way, there were systems I had to start managing that I never was responsible for prior to that. And seeing this, though, and then I was dealing with a company that was making a lot more money than I ever have as well.
Yeah.
So then I saw what was possible when you actually start creating these systems. And I'm like, holy shit, I don't think I'm really that far away from doing this kind of stuff myself. And with the stuff that Matt and I have done, I mean, knowing that he's done a lot of info product stuff, I've done a lot of this other creative work, client work, you know, and connecting. But now I'm syncing it all together in this project management role. It wasn't what I wanted to do long term, but it was like a good learning time. So I wasn't scared to, and it was hard, but, and a lot of it was like I needed the money at the time, honestly. Mm-hmm. But it was a time where I was like, I'm just going to get paid and learn, you know, yeah, and do really good work, but know that there is going to be an exit for me. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be bigger than I've ever been before in my previous businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. That was around the time. What were you doing then?
So Learn to Blog. Let's see. I sold Learn to Blog in 2015.
Because you still had Learn to Blog around the time EGP 1.0 was going.
Yeah, Learn to Blog was still running at that time. That was just kind of like, I was doing them both. That was actually sort of part of the falling out was, you know, my partner Bradley at the time wanted me to be kind of all in, all focused on Learn to Blog. I wanted to kind of do some stuff on the side. So I felt like I had more upside potential, more income. So I was kind of splitting my time between the two businesses. I can't remember if I sold in 2014 or 2015. Now I'm thinking it might have been 2014.
Either way.
It would have been 2015. Yeah, I sold it in February of 2015.
Okay.
And then when I sold Learn to Blog in 2015, I immediately went and partnered with Josh Bartlett at the time also. This was actually after EGP sort of phased out. You were working with Amish. Yeah. We weren't doing EGP stuff anymore. I sold my share in Learn to Blog, and then I partnered with Josh Bartlett immediately after that, and we launched a series of products and a podcast. Mm-hmm. We are Beyond the Hype podcast. We launched a product called FB Uncovered, all about Facebook ads, and then we launched a product called VidForce, all about how to make effective sales videos and that sort of thing. And that was in 2015. We did those. Josh went off to put more focus on his software business. So we stopped making info products together around, you know, the end of 2015 or so. I don't even think that stuff lasted a full year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think towards the end of 2016, he went off to focus on building things like Thrivecart and to whatever his next video platform is going to be. He started working on that a little bit more. And we kind of split ways completely amicably. I mean, we launched a couple info products together. We never really had an official partnership together. We just partnered on some projects. So we launched those two projects.
he split off to go do to build Thrivecart, and I split off and I built what was then called the Content Business Machine, but is now called the Evergreen Profits Masterclass.
Yeah, so you kind of like started doing your own info product stuff.
And yeah.
You did not only that course, but you had like a bunch of other ones that you were doing. Training, I think you did a group training thing.
Yeah, I did some coaching. Okay. I had a $3,000 coaching package that I sold, and that was actually one that I started selling over the phone. So people, I sent out an
Which
email.
If you know Matt, he's not a phone guy.
I'm not a phone guy, no.
But he made it work.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to face my fears and you know, get
make
outside
some
my,
money for
get
it.
Outside my comfort zone. So what I started doing was mailing my list to an application, had them fill out this long application to see if they were a good fit for me. If they were a good fit, I'd call them up on the phone, and then I'd close them on a $3,000 coaching package. And I did that for a little while at the same time doing the masterclass.
Which, by the way, that little method that Matt used, that's exactly what Amish and I used to use to close big clients for the publishing business we had. We literally run like webinars to his list, filter people out, sell them on this application, and then like I would kind of manage and work with the sales team to close them on the phone. And
yeah,
and like you could totally do this in any niche you're in. So
yeah, I launched a whole bunch of other little info products during the time too. I had my Authority Insider, which was like an online membership, which was very unfocused. Whatever I felt like talking about, I'd record a video and put it in the members area. I did a email consulting package where for $50 a month you had unlimited email access to me. I experimented with a whole bunch of that stuff and eventually just phased it out.
So basically you're in like an experimentation phase.
Very experimental. I tried 10 different products at the time.
So I mean, the interesting thing here again is like you were making money, mm-hmm. getting paid to experiment, to face your fears, to sell this coaching that is still used to this day. So you built like this crazy foundation. I was on the other end working with someone who was teaching me a lot. I was kind of facing my fears in a way because I'm not usually an analytical guy. So I was working in systems and numbers and CRMs and all that stuff. I'm more of a creative type. So, but I was getting paid through that, you know? So it was almost like this is still like bubbling up, learning. And I think that was around the time when I traveled to Chicago last year, 2016. And I was still doing video work, so I was still taking on clients at the same time. But Amish and I kind of stopped working with each other. I just wanted to kind of move on and focus more on the creative work, but also start building up my own thing with more of these systems. That's when some opportunities popped up to get back in the client game.
Yeah,
which was a very difficult discussion with Matt because I knew I needed help personally because the client work wasn't. Like, I could do client work, but a lot of it was involving stuff that wasn't in my skill set. Mm-hmm. I could sell it. So what I was doing, and this is kind of a creative way to start a business. I think we might have chatted about it a little bit, but we leveraged our friends. We knew that our friends had agencies. These were some local guys here in San Diego. And they were selling. They had clients that were already paying them a lot of money. And these are like billion-dollar companies.
Yeah.
But they needed stuff that they couldn't, that we could provide. So we provide, you know, creative work, videos, stuff like that, but also email marketing, content marketing, ads, paid ads and stuff. It's stuff that these guys didn't know to do.
Yeah.
So they hired us. So I basically was through our connections. They wanted to work with us. And essentially we would leverage their agency because they had clients already and they would just send us the money, whatever we charged them, you know, they would obviously tack that up to their client.
Yeah. So what they were doing is they were going to these clients that were like, you know, like billion-dollar companies, literally billion-dollar companies. And they would say, okay, we'll do all your website building and maintenance and marketing and handle all this stuff. It's going to cost you $50,000 a month to do it.
Right.
And then what we would do is we'd go to them and we'd say, okay, we'll handle this, these four things, and we'll charge you $5,000 a month.
Yep.
So we weren't actually having to sell to the end client. The agency was selling packages and just including us in the package.
We just made it very clear of what we can create. And this was still a learning curve. We couldn't package it up perfectly at first. But we ended up closing, I think, about four of these types of clients with this partner of ours, the agency. And they grew to know what we can provide. The clients all loved us. After we like started working with them a couple months in or so, they would be like, dude, these guys are solid. And we're getting great results, more organic traffic, referral traffic, SEO, content's on point, emails list is growing. That was kind of our focus. And we worked with, that's where like we've talked about it in our webinars and stuff. We worked with the Brain Center, software companies. We worked with supplement companies, all sorts of different companies, different niches. But that
MLMs.
Was our,
a couple MLMs, actually.
I don't think that was through them, though. But that was other
people. Oh, no, that, yeah, other people. It was during the same era, but it wasn't right. sold through the agency.
So, I mean, like, we got our kickstart again leveraging friends as agencies. And I think that's another takeaway that you could do is if you're starting something, you want to break into something new, leverage.
Yeah.
Don't think you always have to sell to that end client. Obviously, you got to provide value and give a need to whoever you're partnering with. But there's a lot of money to be had with just partnering.
Yeah.
And it exactly. doesn't have to be like an official partnership. This was literally just like, I don't think we even had an agreement. This is another stupid idea, but... But again, it was like a really good buddy, so we just handshake deal, and he always took care of us. But it was good. I mean, because like we were able to pretty quickly become $20,000 a month
in recurring retainers,
plus other random projects that popped up on the sides.
Yeah, and it was around this time after we had a handful of these clients that we actually said. We looked at all the stuff we were doing for these clients and we went, okay, we're running content marketing for them. We're running ads for them. We're helping them grow their list. We're writing the emails that go out to their list. Like, you know, we're putting a lot of effort into the marketing for these guys and they're getting great results and we're making a flat $5,000 a month. Mm-hmm. So no matter how good we do, how much we grow their sales, we're stuck at this retainer that we've already contracted with them at, right? So we can take a company from making $100,000 a month to $1 million a month through our marketing skills, but because we have a contract with them that says we're on $5,000 a month retainer, there's no upside for us to grow them that far. Not that we'd ever, you know, stifle their growth because of right. what we'd make or anything, but we just looked at it as like the potential is not 100% there. Yeah. Now, what if we went down this path of doing exactly what we're doing for all of our clients, but did it as an affiliate instead of as a retainer, right? So now what we're doing is we were looking for products that we can get 40, 50% sales commissions on, and we would do the exact same thing we do for our clients, but we would do it as an affiliate. Mm-hmm. We would build our own website as an affiliate and do all that same work, but get commissions on it.
Right.
This way, now if we took a company from $100,000 a month to $1 million a month,
we're getting 50%.
We're going to get 50% of that growth
yep.
in our business.
And so and it's a risk, man. I mean, so at that, we had this realization. It wasn't like we acted immediately on it, but we definitely had that realization of like, holy crap, there's so much upside we're leaving on the table. We're this like knowledgeable, we're very capable, we're connected. Because over these years, like we've made endless connections in the industry. So software, you know, potential affiliate partners, we made connections, i.e. Josh Bartlett's been a good one because we've been behind pretty much all of his products.
Yeah.
But saying that, like there was still a transitional period where it wasn't like we just like, all right, screw client work, let's dive all in on this affiliate thing.
Yeah.
There was kind of this period where it was a struggle fest because it would be times of, it was around this time actually, we did start transitioning, but that's when cash flow got pretty tight. Mm-hmm. Like we struggled to control the cash flow. It was, I mean, inherently when you're working with clients, and we can go all day on this, we won't now. And the EGP letter, I've written a whole thing on this, but cash flow can kill a business in a heartbeat if you don't have savings or backup plans. And honestly, when you're working with clients, you can't control cash flow. You think you can control with retainers, but you're not really in control.
Well, yeah, you can have these retainers, which just means they owe you the money. That doesn't mean they're going to pay you on time.
Right.
And that they're going to pay you the full amount.
Right.
You know, we used to have to deal with clients where they would say, oh, we're going to pay you half today and half in 15 days when we get paid out by another client that we're waiting for money on. And so we were, you know, we were spending our own money to build stuff,
right?
But we weren't getting paid by the clients on the date they claimed they'd pay us on, and we were playing debt collectors a lot and having to chase people up.
That was like my job. Is like half my week usually was like making phone calls, sending emails, putting boomerang like reminder emails. So in case they didn't respond, I would still hit them back up. I got every cent. Yeah. that we were owed. And I'm not even like a bulldog, but I think I just like pestered them enough where they're just like, all right, I know you did a great job, here's your money.
Yeah.
When they finally got it. But that whole lesson like put just like this burning hole in my freaking gut. I'm just like, I know we're capable of more. We have the knowledge, we're well connected. I want to be in control. We want to be in control of our money, our cash flow. I mean, Matt bought a house in San Diego. I think at this time I was still in I came back because I was only in Chicago for a few months, but we were renting. Mm-hmm. But either way, like we're still growing. Like my wife's growing her business too, separately. But we're like, man, we need to start transitioning.
And
this was the time where a couple of these clients actually started dropping off from us.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for us per se. It was like, it was actually the other stuff they were doing with the partner agencies. They just didn't really have a need for them anymore.
Yeah.
So, or another thing, and this is another lesson for an agency owner. If you work with a big company who has a marketing manager, and if that marketing manager leaves, typically you're fired.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't gonna, your days are numbered. So if you ever see that your marketing contact or whoever contacted a company has left, I would start looking for a new replacement. Also, I'd try to save that client.
Right.
But it's because you got to think, like, whoever's coming in new usually has their different perception of things. They have their guys, their good old boys club that they're going to send, you know, the project to. And you can't, even unless you have like dirt cheap pricing, which you don't want to do. Obviously, we talked about that. Then you're out. And that's pretty much what happened. So it was cool because at this period, and this was late 2016, probably this time last year.
Probably, yeah.
It forced us to like make this transition. And fortunately, this is when some of our affiliate promotions started making money for us.
Yeah.
And it was still tight times because it was transitioning, but it allowed us to save some money to create these systems like Matt talked about in affiliate marketing. And it's worked out, and that's when EGP Letter was born.
Yeah, well, the EGP Letter overlapped with the client work a little bit, because when we first released the EGP Letter, we basically released it as, look, we're working with these clients. Some of them are even billion-dollar companies. We're building all this stuff for them. Subscribe to our newsletter, and in this newsletter, we're going to show you the various things we're doing for these massive companies. You're going to learn from the things we're creating and the results we're getting for these massive companies. When we started the EGP letter, that was the basis of it, was we've got our agency, and we're going to teach what we're doing in that agency.
And over these years, and this is no joke, because we did tally up the numbers, and it basically amounted to $100 million that we helped generate. It's not meaning that we generated that ourselves. We generated some of this, but that was for other clients that we worked with. And like we're saying, we worked with multiple billion-dollar companies. Obviously, it's to move that needle, you can move it kind of a little bit and still generate massive gains.
Yeah.
But these are the types of strategies that, like, we saw this potential. We're like, dear God, if we can make this kind of money for all these clients, why aren't we getting paid anywhere near that?
Yeah.
Like, we're worth so much more.
Yeah. So that's where the EGP letter came in. That's where the EGP masterclass came in. And that's why we got out of the client work and started doing the same stuff we did for clients, but doing it for affiliates instead.
Yeah.
So now the business model today is we've got our EGP letter, where we show exactly the various strategies we're using to promote affiliate products and our own courses. We've got our own courses, you know, a chatbot course, our master class. We're working on an affiliate marketing course right now. So we've got our courses, we've got our newsletter, and we've got our affiliate promotions. And that is the entire business model. And then the business from here, looking forward, looking into the future, is all about collecting assets.
Right.
It's all about, you know, our next sort of phase of Evergreen Profits is dabbling in real estate. We're looking at a property in Estes Park, Colorado. We're looking at a property up in Bozeman, Montana. So we're looking into purchasing properties around the country and using those for rental income. You know,
anything assets. Yeah. Like we're looking. So in the past like year during all of this, Matt and I have studied a lot with asset and wealth development as well. And we've kind of really honed back again on the original thing we opened up Evergreen Profits about, and that was to build assets, but use business as a tool to build those assets. It's not that this business is just going to exist and this is how we're going to make our money. This money is going to be parlayed into other things that work for us and create a cash flow. So it's things as lame sounding as like funding an IRA.
Yeah.
Like that's something that I'm like ruthless about, is maxing out my IRA every single year in index funds using Wealthfront. Like I highly recommend everyone to do that. Just at least check out Wealthfront, because it's sweet, because you can start seeing your projection when you retire, quote unquote retire. Maybe you're 50, maybe you're 66, or maybe you're 70, whatever amount. But it gives you a projection on like what's possible when you compound your money. But you could do that with any kind of asset. You can compound that with real estate. So that's why Matt said, we'll start getting into real estate. We have a lot of partners that will invest with us. Mm-hmm. So it's like with real estate, a lot of people feel like they need to have the money themselves for the down payment and then the monthly. But it's like, no, you literally don't have to have any money up front if you partner with folks that have money and you provide more value and whatever the sweat is or management of the property. People will partner with you. And so it's us getting creative in how to build this wealth using EGP, what we're doing as a tool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's been a game changer. And I think month is our best month we've ever had.
Well, we're only, 5 days into the month? We're recording this on September 5th.
I believe so.
So this is September 5th, obviously. You probably know by now if you're listening to this podcast, we don't record the day they go live. But we're recording this on September 5th. And 5 days into the month, we're on pace to have our best month ever.
Right. Well, I guess I was going to say, the last 30 days has been our best. The
best 30-day period. Yeah.
Correct.
But September will be our best month we've ever had in business.
So
things are looking up and doing good. And I think what we should do now, just to wrap this thing up, is I'm going to say sort of my big lessons, my big takeaway from this whole journey, and then you could share yours. That might be the same damn thing, but I'll share mine.
We'll see.
So my sort of biggest lesson, biggest takeaways from this journey we've been on is that you should have three focuses in business, right? Focus number one, connect and build true relationships with as many people as possible, right? Because what got us from point A to point B where we are today has been those relationships. It's been my relationship with Joe. It's been the relationship we built with Josh Bartlett, the relationship you built with Amish Shah, Bradley Will. The list goes on and on and on of all these people we've partnered with over the years. We're partnered with Brad Spencer now, somebody we've talked to for years and years about partnering with. Everybody that we've had on this podcast are all people we have relationships. John Margulies, who we did Toggly with, who knows freaking Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and people like that.
It's kind of a good guy to know, right?
He's a good guy to know. So, point number one, build as many relationships and connections as you can, but strong relationships. Like, become friends with the people, not acquaintances, not just like, oh, I know a guy who knows a guy. Build relationships with people.
You know a good way to do that? And this is what I do. And this is not because I'm trying to hack it, but literally just like send them a text message on their birthday.
Yeah.
Like it's something that sounds stupid, but if you see them on Facebook saying like people wishing a happy birthday, text them. Mm-hmm. More often than not, they're going to text you right on back and you're going to be top of mind. You're breaking through that clutter and you become more of a deeper friend. Because you're thinking about them.
So that's my sort of number one takeaway is that, build those strong connections. Number two takeaway is, try to accumulate knowledge and understanding of as much as possible. And a lot of times that doesn't necessarily come from content. Mm-hmm. Accumulating knowledge and really trying to understand as much as possible oftentimes comes just as much from those connections as it does from the content you consume. Mm-hmm. I would say I've probably learned way more business lessons over the years from the people I've worked with than from the books or blog posts or podcasts that I've, consumed.
Yeah.
Right? I've learned so much from people like Josh Bartlett, who have, talked to me about different pricing strategies and different design strategies for my website and, partnering with him and watching behind the scenes of him running a launch. Same with seeing what you and Amish have done. Same with working with John Margulies, who's in that startup world. He's not even in the internet marketing world that we tend to run in those circles. He's in this completely different sort of Silicon Valley esque like startup world. And so we've learned totally different lessons from that side of the things, right? We've got guys like Alan, who we're working with now, who's a big name real estate dude. Mm-hmm. And we're learning all sorts of real estate lessons from guys like him. So build as many connections as you can. Try to consume as much knowledge as you can and soak it all up and try to put all the pieces together and understand as much as you can. And then the third lesson is always be focused on assets. How do I add one more thing to my business that's going to add a recurring revenue to my life? Mm. Right? And it doesn't always have to be big. We'll add stuff to our business that'll generate an extra $100 a month. We'll add stuff to our business that'll generate an extra $10,000 a month. But how do I consistently find new assets to plug into the business that's going to add an additional recurring revenue stream? And then how do I take that recurring revenue stream and parlay it into another asset? And how do I take that recurring revenue stream and parlay it into another asset? And how do I continually collect and level up my assets? Mm. And those are my three biggest takeaways from this journey we've been on so far.
That's all. I'm just kidding.
Three biggest. I didn't say all. No, biggest.
Those are awesome. Yeah, I mean, I agree with all those. I think what I would add is two things is really focus. I mean, focusing. And once you focus on what you truly are like confident in your path and knowing that this is the way and not, and like literally putting the blinders on.
Yeah. Being unwavering with it.
Yeah. Just trust the process. Like know that shit's going to get real. Shit's going to get rocky. It's never going to be always easy. You know, you might have really good, easy day feeling days, but don't let off the gas because you're the second you do that. I mean, you just lose all kind of momentum and, but stick the course, you know, don't give up when it gets tough. Fight through. It's true grit. John Margalit said that on his podcast as well. Is those are the true players that like get somewhere. Mm-hmm. Is fight through these ups and downs. I mean, literally, it took us 10 years to get to this point where most people who want to start an online business will throw up a landing page and a sales page and run some traffic or ask people to promote their thing and think that it's going to be the best thing ever. And it flops, makes, you know, $1,000. And they still can't pay for everything that month.
Yeah.
And they expect it to just work because that's how the marketing has hyped it up to be. And that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you might get lucky, but you're not going to create a solid business that way. So the true grit, putting in the work is necessary through the ups and downs and focusing on that. I think Warren Buffett even has a quote that says, you know, the wealthy, the truly wealthy and great entrepreneurs out there say no to more things. Mm-hmm. Than yes.
Yeah.
And I think that was the big thing. We're kind of yes men in a way to projects. Well, we were for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if yes people waved money in front of us, we would.
Yeah. So opportunities are abundant and don't just, you know, take them as they are.
Yeah.
And the last thing was taught to me by Amish Shah. And this was one of those things where it wasn't from a book. It was literally from his mouth and working with him. Is and he's been in business longer than us. I think he's been maybe 17 years now or more. Mm-hmm. And he's still a young guy too, but I mean, he's landed himself on the Inc. 500 list twice. You know, he's done these crazy launches of, you know, $8+ million at a time. But he said like his whole thing that he's learned over the years is that you need to have really two style businesses or projects. One is one that's a now thing that's going to pay the bills. So if that's consulting, we did that for a while. Well, just doing it like for what we're doing right now, affiliate marketing was how like was our now thing for a while that was helping us grow our business that led to the future business. So this is one that takes more time to develop. So these are the two focus, the now thing and the one that's kind of future. The future one was or is the EGP letter because that's a steady growth pattern. It's recurring. It's something that will overcome. It's almost tied up right now, I'd say. It's pretty close, but
month it may pass it.
But either way, like our main goal was EGP letter is going to be our big thing. Affiliate marketing is also big, but it's helped fund our growth for the letter. So that's kind of really my takeaway from Amish, and what I still think about all the time now with this focus is like have something that pays the bills so you're not stressing out, but focus on that future growth, that exponential growth thing that you can control. That might take a year or two to develop. You never know, but it's going to pay off if you stick to it.
Yeah.
And that's it. I have a lot more takeaways too, but I think those are solid.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you look at the EGP and what we're doing now, and we're on the verge of having our best month we've ever had in business. And that is because of the consistency and focus, right? It was when we decided, okay, this is what we're doing. We're going to create courses. We're going to promote these affiliate products. And we're going to write our EGP letter every month, and we're going to focus on nothing else. And we've had times where stuff has come, you know, opportunities have presented themselves. I mean, big opportunities, like five potential six-figure opportunities. And we've said, no, we've got to stay focused on this. We cannot diverge off this path. And it's that thinking and that sort of being hardcore about it that has led to us about to have our best month ever with the Evergreen Profits letter.
Yeah.
And another just sort of word of advice is don't get discouraged if you find yourself getting off course and testing different things. I mean, we would have never figured out the business model we're in now if we hadn't had veered off in all sorts of directions and zigzagged all over the place and tested this model and tested that model and tested this model. It's all of those veering off course that have led us to realized like the ultimate business model is perfect for us, and we wouldn't have figured that out if we hadn't gone down some of those paths. Mm-hmm. So you can't really get discouraged by, you know, going one direction, feeling like you failed, and then going in a different direction, because you'll never learn if you don't have some of those failures.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all learning. So keep learning on the way. They're all learning moments. They're not total failures, you know, but just stay the path.
For sure.
I think that's the biggest thing. And we hope to do a recap episode or maybe an update episode in a couple years.
Yeah, we'll see where in a couple go. Years, we'll have an episode called How We Turned Our Six-Figure-A-Month Business into a Seven-Figure-A-Month Business.
Yay! It's on the path. But just, yeah, hopefully there's a few things that you picked out of this. You know, it went a little long, probably, but...
Yeah, I think this is our longest episode yet. But you know what? It was cool. Reminiscing it was down memory lane.
It was from popular demand.
Yeah, so. No, this was an episode that was asked for, so hopefully you got what you were looking for out of this episode, those of you that asked for it. And, yeah. And I know that it was fun for us to do.
Yeah, no, we dig it. So I'm surprised we didn't have a beer in front of us, but because that's typically the case when we go down memory lane. But
yeah, I don't even think I had beers.
That would have been a much longer episode if we
would have turned into a longer episode with more double the rants. Length.
All right, so we'll see you next time. Next week, same old time, same old place.
Later.
Thank you. Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to this podcast. Now, if you want to learn more and hear from us every single month, which a lot of people do, it's pretty fun, we actually write this thing called the Evergreen Profits Letter, and that is a printed newsletter that we actually send to hundreds of people every single month to your doorstep, so you actually get it in the mail. You can read this sucker, you can highlight it, you can dog ear, you can scratch some stuff out if you don't like that one. You say, no, Joe and Matt, that's not cool for me. But you can take a lot of different strategies, about 15 or so from every single issue, and it's really cool. So basically, these are actionable strategies that you can use in your business right away to test out and pretty much build on what you already have going on. So check it out. It's at www.egpletter.com. It's pretty amazing. And yeah, you should go check it out. See what it's all about.
Boom.